Despite that, progress in evolving anything like the scientific method had remained glacially slow, even in the Royal College. Under King Harald, however, the process had gained both speed and increased acceptance, in Carus at least, which Machlin suspected might well have had quite a bit to do with Jaspar Clinton's personal and corrosive hatred for the distant kingdom. Since Merlin's arrival and the eruption of open conflict between Carus and the Group of Four, the process had accelerated enormously, and Dr. Lewis was one of its most enthusiastic devotees, although her actual knowledge of chemistry remained basically empirical. She knew what would happen in any number of chemical reactions, and she knew how to produce a very large number of useful chemical compounds, but she did not, yet at least, understand why those reactions occurred or those particular compounds formed. Unless Machlin was mistaken, that was going to change over the next several years. In fact, it was already changing, but for now, any answers she might come up with for Seamount's questions would still be based on that purely empirical knowledge.
"The compound's not any harder to manufacture than gunpowder, really," the Commodore continued. "A bit touchier in some ways, less so in others. The good news is how many of the ingredients were already available in bulk from places like the fertilizer makers. The bad news is that, like gunpowder itself, mixing those ingredients can get just a bit hazardous." He snorted. "Could hardly be otherwise, I guess, given that the whole notion was to come up with something that would reliably ignite from friction. And it does do that."
He shook his head, his expression one of wry amusement.
"Is it too touchy?" Machlin asked. "Too sensitive?"
No, not really," Seamount shook his head. "In fact, it seems just about ideal, as the basis for an artillery fuse, at least. Irvin's running a test program on that for me right now. We don't have nearly enough actual shells to play around with, not when Edward's people have to make each of them individually for us. But he's come up with some ingenious ways to test our current fuse design. And reliability is really, really impressive so far, Rajir."
Machlin nodded. The basic design Seamount was talking about was actually at least partly Empress Charlian's work. Seamount was the one who'd come up with the notion of using a friction-detonated compound inside a sealed tube. He'd realized the most reliable method for fusing a rifled shell would be to coat the inside of the tube with a properly combustible compound, then let an iron ball inside the tube fly forward when the shell hit its target, striking the inside of the tube, igniting the compound, and detonating the shell. It was Charlian, however, who had suggested anchoring the ball in the middle of the tube with a length of wire designed to shear off as the shell accelerated down the bore of the gun. The wire kept the ball firmly in place, helping to prevent accidental detonations, until the shell was fired. At that point, acceleration forces sheared the wire, the ball flew to the rear and uncoated end of the tube, and stayed there until the shell reached its target. At that point, the ball, freed of the wire's restraint, tried to keep going forward, slammed into the front of the tube, ignited the compound which coated it, and boom. It was an elegantly simple solution, assuming someone managed to come up with a suitable incendiary compound, that was. There were any number of possibilities which could be ignited by friction or shock. The difficulty was finding one which could be made to do so reliably and counted upon not to do that at inconvenient moments. That search had been assigned to Sandra Lewis, and her response had been to go back to the writ, looking for cautionary admonitions about various compounds and processes the Archangels had made available as part of those terraforming requirements. For example, phosphorus had been produced for use as a fertilizer from the day of creation itself, and although no citizen of the long-dead Terran Federation would ever have considered the production methods used anything but hopelessly primitive, they'd worked well enough for Safehold's purposes. Nor were they the only production techniques the Holy Writ had laid out for Mother Church's children. Saltpeter had been used in both fertilizers and in food preservation, for example, and Schuller's tears, which someone from the Federation would have called nitric acid, had been used in metallurgy as a cleaning compound and even as a way to remove clogs from plumbing. No one had ever had any idea of the actual chemical processes involved in producing any of those things, however. That meant there was no way for Safeholdians to recognize potential hazards on their own, which could very easily have gotten a lot of people killed over the centuries. Even worse, from Langhorne's perspective at least, if people suffered disasters from following the Archangel's directions, it was likely to make someone question those directions, or at the very least, start looking for alternate methods, which would have kicked off the entire innovation process Langhorne had been determined to stifle. To head that off, the Archangels had incorporated precautions against things like accidental explosions or other potential dangers into their directions. For example, white phosphorus was actually simpler to manufacture than red phosphorus, yet the writ strictly prohibited white phosphorus's use for most purposes under pain of the curse of burning jaw. What Machlin hadn't known until Al's library became available to him was that the horrible symptoms of burning jaw had nothing to do with the Archangel Pasquale's curse for the misuse of the banned white phosphorus. In fact, it was a condition which had been known, on a planet which had once been called Terra, as phosphorus necrosis of the jaw, or phossy jaw, and it was a completely natural consequence of overexposure to white phosphorus's vapors. There was no vengeful Archangel of Healing lashing out to punish sinners behind the process which caused jawbones to abscess and actually begin to glow in the dark, and led eventually to death if the afflicted bones weren't surgically removed.